Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles. Genesis chapters 43 and 44. Genesis 43 and 44. This is God's word. Now the famine was still severe in the land, so when they had eaten all the grain they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go back and buy us a little more food." But Judah said to him, "The man warned us solemnly, 'You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, "You will not see my face again unless your brother's with you."' Israel asked, 'Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?' They replied, 'The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. Is your father still living?' he asked us. 'Do you have another brother?' We simply answered his questions. 'How are we to know?' he would say, 'Bring your brother down here.' Then Judah said to Israel, his father, 'Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone down and returned twice.' Then their father Israel said to them, 'If it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm, a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once, and may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved.' So the men took the gifts and double the amount of silver, and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, 'Take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare dinner. They are to eat with me at noon.' The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, 'We were brought here because of the silver that was put back into our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys.' So they went up to Joseph's steward and spoke to him at the entrance to the house. 'Please, sir,' they said, 'we came down here the first time to buy food, but at the place where we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks, and each of us found his silver, the exact weight, in the mouth of his sack. So we have brought it back with us. We have also brought additional silver with us to buy food. We don't know who put our silver in our sacks.' 'It's all right,' he said. 'Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver.' Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they had heard that they were to eat there. When Joseph came home, they presented to him the gifts they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. He asked them how they were, and then he said, 'How is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living?' They replied, 'Your servant, our father, is still alive and well, and they bowed low to pay him honor. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a private place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. After he had washed his face, he came out and, controlling himself, said, serve the food. They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in the order of their ages, from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at each other in astonishment. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was 5 times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Now Joseph gave these instructions to the steward of his house, fill the men's sacks with as much food as they can carry, and put each man's silver in the mouth of his sack. Then put my cup, the silver one, in the mouth of the youngest one's sack, along with the silver for his grain. And he did as Joseph said. As the morning dawned, the men were sent on their way with their donkeys. They had not gone far from the city when Joseph said to his steward, go after those men at once, and when you catch up with them, say to them, why have you repaid good with evil? Isn't this the cup my master drinks from and also uses for divination? This is a wicked thing you have done. When he caught up with them, he repeated these words to them, but they said to him, why does my Lord say such things? Far be it from your servants to do anything like that. We even brought back to you from the land of Canaan the silver we found inside the mouths of our sacks. So why would we steal silver or gold from your master's house? If any of your servants is found to have it, he will die, and the rest of us will become my Lord's slaves. Very well then, he said, let it be as you say. Whoever is found to have it will become my slave. The rest of you will be free from blame. Each of them quickly lowered his sack to the ground and opened it. Then the steward proceeded to search, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. At this they tore their clothes. Then they all loaded up their donkeys and returned to the city. Joseph was still in the house when Judah and his brothers came in, and they threw themselves to the ground before him. Joseph said to them, what is this you have done? Don't you know that a man like me can find things out by divination? What can we say to my Lord? Judah replied. What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my Lord's slaves, we ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup. But Joseph said, far be it from me to do such a thing. Only the man who was found to have the cup will become my slave. The rest of you, go back to your father in peace. Then Judah went up to him and said, please, my Lord, let your servant speak a word to my Lord. Do not be angry with your servant, though you are equal to Pharaoh himself. My Lord asked his servants, do you have a father or a brother? And we answered, we have an aged father, and there is a young son born to him in his old age. His brother is dead, and he is the only one of his mother's sons left, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me so I can see him for myself. And we said to my Lord, the boy cannot leave his father. If he leaves him, his father will die. But you told your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you will not see my face again. When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him what my Lord had said. Then our father said, go back and buy a little more food. But we said, we cannot go down. Only if our youngest brother is with us will we go. We cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me 2 sons. One of them went away from me, and I said, he has surely been torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. If you take this one from me too, and harm comes to him, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in misery. So now if the boy is not with us when I go back to your servant, my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up with the boy's life, sees that the boy isn't there, he will die. Your servants will bring the gray head of our father down to the grave in sorrow. Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life. Now then, please, let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave in place of the boy. and let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This drama is very well written, and it's true. And what we see here in history is that family dynamics, personality traits, all those things are pretty much universal. They've always been this way. Remember, one of the brothers was left behind, but they didn't hurry back in order to get him. They'd gotten their food, and the price of going back was having to take Benjamin. And the father was willing to do without the one who was in Egypt in order to avoid risking Benjamin. It was just not worth the risk. So they all stayed back home and continued to eat the stuff that they'd bought. But now, they're running out of food. So, Judah says, send the boy along with me and we'll go at once so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice. Do you ever spend more energy trying to avoid work than it would take to just do the task that you've been asked to do? Universal pattern. Judas says, Dad, let's resolve this matter. Let's just go ahead and do it. Let's go. And so his father then said, verse 11, if it must be, then do this. Take some of the best products of the land in your bags. Go down to the man and give them as a gift. What did they have? They had honey. They had pistachios, they had almonds. What they didn't have was grain, and that's what they needed to go get. When your donkey is hungry, you can't just give him preserves, okay? They've got to have grain. And so he says, take him some of the stuff we do have, some of the best that we've got. And you not only take the silver to buy grain, you take the silver that got returned last time. And so, they go. And when they get there, they're nervous. Because Joseph says, through the interpreter, take them to my house. They're going to eat at my house today. But they immediately begin to think, he's going to enslave us. He wants to attack us, overpower us, seize us as slaves, and take our donkeys. Again, a guilty conscience will cause you to be paranoid. They were afraid because they lived in fear. Joseph is about to treat them to a wonderful meal, especially Benjamin. And when they go inside, they say to the servant, as a matter of fact, before they go inside, they say to the servant, listen, we don't know how it happened, but last time, you know, when we stopped to spend the night on the way home, we opened our sacks and all the money that we had paid was in our sacks. We don't know what happened. And he says, oh, we got your money. The God of your fathers has returned that to you. Well, that was true. They did get the money, and it was in the sovereignty of God that they got their silver back. God using Joseph. So, they're like, well, this is really strange. This is bizarre. But, okay. They're still nervous. They get to see their brother who'd been imprisoned there while they were gone. They're restored, and they're told at noon they're going to have their midday meal. Joseph's going to be there, but Joseph is going to sit separately because presumably in their minds he's an Egyptian, and Egyptians don't eat with Hebrews, and if he had eaten with them, it would have raised questions. So Joseph sits here. They sit at that table, and the Egyptians, because they would never eat with these folks, and they didn't get to eat with Joseph because he's the ruler of the land. So Joseph, the brothers, and the Egyptians who take care of things. But these guys, they notice something. They notice a couple of things. On the one hand, remember, it's a famine. They've come there because they had run out of food. Now they're at a feast. You get any symbolism there? Now they're at a feast, but they notice that there's assigned seating, and they're all arranged by age. Is that just a coincidence? How did that happen? How interesting. Well, then, as they're feasting at Joseph's house, great meal, Benjamin, he got more than we did. Oh, he didn't just get more. He got five times as much as they did. You understand that? Five times as much. Okay, even if you're little, you understand that that's a whole lot more. Right? Five times as much. So, when it's all over, they're ready to go. And they leave. They're heading for home. They're all reunited. It's all been good. But Joseph has a plan. Joseph not only says to put the silver back in their bags, but he says, take my silver cup. He doesn't say my cup that I use for divination. He just says, take my silver cup and put it in the bag of the youngest. Put it in Benjamin's bag. And then, after they've gone a ways, I'm going to send you after them. So his instructions are carried out. These guys have headed down the road, and they're thinking, it's all good now. We're going to be able to take him back to Dad. Everybody's going to be happy. We've got grain. We're all good. Not all good. Here comes the contingent of Egyptians. And when they catch up, the guy continues the ruse. He says, how could you? Why have you repaid good with evil? Isn't this the cup my master drinks from and also uses for divination? What can we say to my lord? Judah replied. What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? Here's the sentence I want you to focus on. God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my lord's slaves. We ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup. Judah says, if Benjamin can't go home, we can't go home. God has uncovered your servant's guilt. They were still carrying around the guilt of what they had done. I know people who carry guilt for decades. They did something, and because they've tried to bury it, it won't go away. They haven't dealt with their guilt. These guys knew they were guilty. And they said, God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my Lord's slaves, we ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup. But Joseph says, oh, far be it from me to do such a thing. Only the man who was found to have the cup will become my slave. The rest of you go back to your father in peace. In peace? Are you kidding me? There will be no peace. You're sending us back to kill our dad. When we show up without our brother Benjamin, my dad's life is done. And ours too. It's going to ruin everything. We can't go home in peace without our baby brother. And so Judah takes him aside and tries to explain things to him, as if Joseph does not know. This drama is going to continue in the next chapter, and we're not going there today. But there's another point that is absolutely essential. Do you understand why Jacob was not willing for Benjamin to go? Well, yeah, because he was afraid something would happen to him. Well, why would that be a bigger deal than the one who's down there right now? Because Benjamin was the only remaining son of his favorite wife. He was now the beloved son, as Joseph had once been. And his father was not willing to send his beloved son into a situation where he might not return. He might lose his life. Something bad might happen to him. I'm deliberately using certain words and pausing in hopes that it's going to cause you to think about something. A father who sent his beloved son, not risking something happening to him, but he sent his beloved son knowing that his son was going to die. And he did that for you. The Father knew how he would redeem us. Jesus is referred to as the Lamb who is slain from the foundation of the world. God, the sovereign ruler of the universe, from the start, was preparing the way for people to recognize and receive the forgiveness that is provided by the death of the Lamb. I can certainly relate to Jacob not wanting to risk his son. I cannot relate to God choosing to sacrifice his son. But that's what he did. And he did it because he loves you. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.